Welcome to Houseplant Homebody. I'm your host, Holly, and I'm here to tell you all about my favorite things, plants. Are you ready? Well, hello. Welcome to episode 87. This time around, we're talking about Easter lilies. I decided to throw in kind of a, not really a houseplant, but mostly used, kind of getting close to that time of year. And I know the date fluctuates depending on a bunch of other things, and I know there's a specific reason, but I did not look that up for this episode. So we're going to talk about the plant specifically, though. So the Easter lily is a really beautiful, pure white lily that is very fragrant. And normally it is forced to bloom around the holiday, if you didn't know that. And the white lily symbolizes purity, rebirth, which really explains the representation of this particular holiday. I'm going to kind of lay out this episode a little bit differently. I'm going to do the history of it, kind of the other facts, and the Instagram Q&A first, and then I'm going to go into the care of it, and you'll understand why I switched it up a little bit later. But the botanical name for the Easter lily in general is Lilium longiflorum. There are a lot of other varieties out there. I wouldn't say a lot. There are a number of varieties out there, but normally you will never see the variety name when you're purchasing this lily. I can tell you that Nelly's White is the most commonly found grown one out there. You will never really know that though. So there is a little bit of history behind it, and that's what we're going to get into. It does involve different kinds of religions, which I am not really well versed in. So I will give you the very basics of it and kind of what has been said in other sources. But the history of it is it's originally a native to the southern islands of Japan. And the lily was introduced to England by a plant explorer named Carl Peter Thunberg in 1819. And then in the early 1800s, the Easter lily was brought to the United States by Louis Houghton. Because of Pearl Harbor, the Japanese source of this bulb was kind of cut off. Nowadays, what's known as Easter lily capital of the world is the coastal region between California and Oregon, where about 95% of Easter lilies are grown, which is nuts to think about. So across many religions and beliefs, the white lily is supposed to symbolize purity, rebirth, and new beginnings, which I kind of said in the very beginning. But the pure white lily was also associated quite frequently with the Virgin Mary. It was also said that when Eve left the Garden of Eden, she shed remorseful tears, and in that spot that she shed the tears, lilies sprung up. So those are a couple fun facts on the religious side of it. But obviously the purity rebirth makes sense of why it's around this holiday. I'm kind of going to split up a lot of the information and care instructions into two parts. So we're going to dive into that, and then we're going to really get into it. So the two ways I see this plant are, this plant is strictly holiday decoration only. You're only buying it at Easter, and you will not use it again. The second way is, yes, you're using it for holiday decoration, but then you want to use it outside and plant it outside. Either way is great. And it's actually probably dependent on your conditions or actually the options you have. You can plant this outside. And I was actually shocked to learn that when I was doing my research for this plant, because I didn't know that. And we'll get into it, but I was also shocked by the hardiness zone range that it has. And then I put some logic behind it, and then I kind of understood it with my landscape background. But, you know, I was still shocked to say the least, because we only sold them as more of the holiday decoration when we were at the garden center. I never even considered planting it, nor never considered asking that question. I just thought they were more of kind of like a poinsettia, like a tropical plant that you can't use outside. And that's kind of just what I assumed since it was a holiday plant or holiday related plant. So the next title in the blog says, wait, I can plant my Easter lily outside? And yes, you can. You might be able to, I should say. So if you're in hardiness zone 5 to 11, which is a wild range, you can probably plant this bulb outside. In the cooler climates, I would wait till the final frost passes before you plant it. So sometimes Easter's in March and you don't really want to plant it in March, obviously, or April or whatever. So you would wait till the final frost happens, which could be May. And I can kind of explain the care instructions in that time. If all of the blooming happens at that point, you still can't plant it outside, but we'll go into that. But UW-Madison Horticulture Extension did mention this lily can be hardy into zone 4 with protection. It also says a few cultivars are hardy only to zone 7. They aren't specific about the cultivars, so that part's not helpful. But just keep that in mind. Most varieties should be pretty good though. Okay, so planting outside. Normally you would have this plant inside, probably on your table, dining room table, or like on a fireplace or on a side table or coffee table or, you know, on the ground, I guess. I don't know why it has to be on a table. But once the flowers are spent or they just don't look good anymore, you can cut the stem halfway down. And if it's too early to plant them outside, I would put them in a bright window and just leave it there and keep watering it like you normally were. If it is late enough, there's no frost opportunities anymore, what you're going to do is you're going to plant it outside 3 inches deep, because this is a bulb plant. If you're planting multiple, you want to plant them about 12 to 18 inches apart. After you plant them outdoors, you might see the stems and leaves start to turn brown, start to wither away, it look gross. Don't panic, because that's normal. More than likely, the plant's going to bounce back. It's going to start producing new growth throughout the rest of the summer and fall season, and then it's going to die back again. A couple sources said if you're lucky, it might actually bloom again, but I would not bank on that. Just know you're planting it outside in hopes that it will bloom the following season. Because it is a bulb and it does need to get used to this newer environment of growing outdoors, there is a chance it may not bloom that first year it's outside. So let's say you plant it in 2024. In 2025, it might not bloom because it's adjusting, but in 2026, it should. So there is a chance it might not in 2025. I only saw that on like one or two sources though, so hopefully it should, but just wanted to note that too. Don't get discouraged if it doesn't. Kind of makes sense. The other thing I wanted to have you keep in mind is if you're in the 4 and 5, maybe even 6 hardiness zones, covering the bulbs with mulch in the winter is going to help keep the soil from fluctuating from warm to cold, warm to cold. So often that will help keep the temperatures consistent to help the bulb stabilize through the winter. Hopefully that makes sense. But mulch always helps. Okay, so we're going to jump into the Instagram Q&A because it relates to some of the quick facts and beyond. All right, so as a reminder, the Instagram Q&A has always been something I've done for the podcast episodes. Well, maybe it was like halfway through I started doing it, but it's an opportunity for anyone to ask questions, but I also want to include opinions and hot takes. So we only got one question this time around, but it relates. That's why I put it in the middle instead of the end of the episode. So the question was, do they bloom around Easter? The answer is yes. And I think I mentioned this earlier, but these flowers are forced bloom around Easter because of what a white lily symbolizes. That is why they choose this holiday for this lily. Seeing as the day Easter changes every year, it really actually requires a ton of knowledge to successfully force bloom at the correct time of year. So you really need to understand the environment. You need to be able to manipulate the environment very, very well. And that is why more than likely, if you're going to try to get this plant to bloom afterwards, you're never going to get to bloom in Easter time because that is not their normal time. Normally, these lilies bloom in the summertime. University of Wisconsin said usually in Wisconsin, they bloom like late July. So just to let you know, you're not going to have them again for Easter. You're going to be seeing the flowers in summer, which if you think about it, makes sense. If you're thinking about like an oriental lily or even a daylily, those are usually blooming in the summertime. So the timing makes sense from like a lily in general, very, very general term, when they bloom. So we're going to jump into the quick tips and facts just to kind of name a few things before we go into the actual requirements. As you can tell, this episode's probably going to be a little bit shorter than normal. But I know last episode we got a long one. So since there's not a ton of care requirements on it, it's super simple. I'll give you a couple tips here and there, but it's a pretty simple houseplant. It doesn't take a lot to get it to bounce back. I didn't see a ton of resources mentioning indoor growth and then reblooming. That's a little bit harder because they do actually need the colder temperatures to kind of help with the bulb situation, just like the tulips daffodils, those kinds of bulbs do. There is one way to actually keep the blooms on the flowers for looking their best for the longest. And this was almost in every single source that I found. I don't know if I'd recommend doing it outdoors because you're trying to get more flowers, larger plants, but indoors. The best way to do this is by removing the pollen from the inside of the plant. And I think those are called the anthers. But removing the yellow powdery tips of the inside of the flower actually allows the hormones to decrease. Therefore, it's not pushing the plant to keep pushing out new flowers as fast. So the flowers die back a lot slower. So that's a great way to do it. Now, keep in mind, this pollen can stain your clothes pretty easily. And to avoid that, just be careful handling it. And that actually removing it would be one way to help prevent that if you're just like brushing by or like moving the plant around. So removing the pollen. Who knew? Another quick fact is that outdoors, these lilies can grow up to 3 feet tall. Obviously, they're not going to in every single environment. And obviously, when you get the plant initially, it's not going to be 3 feet tall because it's kind of been on restricted environment and growth conditions. So, but once you get it outdoors with the right light environment, it could get up to 3 feet tall. And as we usually discuss in all the plant bios, is whether or not they're toxic for pets. And this one is. So a couple sources called out cats specifically, but pets in general, I would make sure you help them avoid this plant. And then episode 31 is where you can learn a ton more about pets and plants in general if you need more information. And of course, I have a blog post for it. It's linked in this blog post. Okay, so I think now you probably understand why I wanted to go through the history, kind of the potential growth, the fact that you can grow outside. Because if I just went into the sun requirements, the water requirements right away, you'd be so confused. And then I'd have to try to like backtrack and explain myself. So now we know the history. We know the options for this plant, we know the possibilities, we know the random facts. We're going to go right into just the sun and water. We'll talk about fertilizer, but it's not really going to be a big topic because I really do think it's personal preference. Okay, so for fertilizer, let's just start there. Indoors, you're probably not going to need much because when you buy this Easter lily and you bring it home, it will naturally start blooming because that's the part that is supposed to be. The growers already did that. They did the fertilizer. They forced the growth already. It might even already be blooming by the time you bring it home. You don't need to do anything in that moment. Outdoors, you could do a bulb fertilizer on it, or you could really just do whatever kind of fertilizer you plan on using for other things. Just make sure you're checking the measurement of fertilizer and make sure it's not too much or not enough in those kind of situations. I always say this, but I really do think it's personal preference, so I'm not going to direct you as to what you should be using. Just the measurement of the actual fertilizer is probably going to be the most important. Okay, jumping into sun requirements. As a holiday decoration in itself, before the plant blooms, you want to keep it in bright light. So a west or south window is probably preferred. And then once it starts blooming, you can move this plant really anywhere in your house because it'll just keep blooming. It doesn't need more light to keep blooming. So if you have a dark corner you're trying to brighten up, send it on over there. It's fine. It'll keep blooming. And honestly, the lack of light will slow down blooms from being forced to produce. So that could help too. But yeah, as soon as it starts blooming, you don't need to keep it in bright light anymore. Now, if you plant this lily outside, once the flowers are spent, it prefers full to partial sun. So this is where I got conflicting information. It was kind of split 50-50 between people saying it prefers morning sun, afternoon shade, which is usually partial sun. And then I've also seen it as they need full sun for those prolific blooming flowers. So in my experience and what I know about other lily varieties, I would probably put this in a full sun area. One, because I really want the most amount of flowers possible. And two, I want the biggest, fullest growth possible to maximize everything I can out of this plant. In my mind, with the experience of knowing the conditions that lilies grow in the best outside of this Easter lily in a normal landscape, they usually like to be in full sun because then you're actually going to get the most blooms, the brightest blooms, and the longest lasting, most consistent blooms. So that's what I would do. But if you do need help understanding light in general, I do have the Light Explained blog and podcast that you can reference. The Light Explained is more for houseplants, so I'm not sure if that would help necessarily on a landscape side of things, but just understanding it a little bit more if you're confused or need to reference it, it's there. Okay, and then we're going to end with water requirements and go from there. So water requirements, it always depends on your actual house, your environment, humidity, even pottery, the soil you're using, sunlight, all of those things end up changing the water requirements. So I'm never going to say like, oh, it's 1 cup of water every 2 weeks. Like, no, you're never going to get that information from me. The main thing is the length of time between watering is what's going to change because of those factors. What won't change is Easter lilies need medium moisture, whether it's indoors or outdoors. So it doesn't like to sit in high moisture. So it doesn't like the moisture like a canna lily or a fern. It likes to be in the medium moisture. So it doesn't want to completely dry out, but it doesn't want to sit in water. And if you need help understanding watering, I do have the Watering Explained blog and podcast. That would be more helpful than the Light Explained blog and podcast probably, because it just has it. Water explaining watering is always hard just because you can't be specific because there's so many random factors behind it. But that could really help if you do need some help with it. But medium moisture, that's what I'm going to say. I do also want to note that a lot of these plants come in like decorative foil. I don't even want to call it a pot. They make it into like what covers a plastic pot is just like decorative foil. I would suggest taking that off the plant just because a lot of water stays in the foil. It's not going to be draining or anything like that. And that could really cause some bad overwatering situations and could potentially kill your lily. So I would take the decorative foil off of it. If you like the decorative foil and you want to keep it on it, I would suggest either cutting the base of it or cutting holes in it to make sure it does drain, and then putting a saucer or something underneath it. I would not rely on it as like the plant's saucer, since this is a medium moisture plant and it's seasonal sometimes. Like, same thing with poinsettias, like those come in the foil, and I've never had luck leaving them in there. I have left them in there myself, but I never had luck with it. So I would suggest removing the foil, and if you can't remove the foil, I would suggest cutting like a big hole on the bottom of it. So that way you at least have the decoration, but then you have the practicality of like the plant can actually drain. So that is Easter lilies, guys. I hope you really enjoyed this different topic, and I'm excited to continue doing more topical plants in situations, some landscape plants, some in-betweens like this, some bulbs even, and we'll keep going and trying from there. But I really liked learning about the Easter lily because I did not know the history behind it, and I don't usually look up the history when I'm doing the plant bios, but I thought this was kind of necessary. So this was a fun one for me. I hope you learned something. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll talk to you soon. Hello, it's soon. So again, I hope you enjoyed the episode. It was very fun to make. I just wanted to throw out a few reminders that I do have merch online that is 30% off all holiday crewnecks, and there's just a couple left. So I have a Santa head, and instead of like the holly and mistletoe situation on like the top of his head with his hat, all of the mistletoe or like holly leaves is actually houseplant leaves. So it's like subtle Christmas, but only houseplant lovers will actually like realize what it is. So there's that. And then I also have what I call holiday lights crew neck. So it's a few houseplants with strings of holiday lights on them. They're really fun. I just have a couple left. So 30% off. I'll keep them at 30% off on the website till they sell out probably. Second order business, the newsletter. If you haven't signed up for it, you definitely should. It does come out quarterly. I have this irrational fear that I'm going to share here and probably never share anywhere else. I have this very irrational fear that my whole Instagram feed is just going to disappear someday for some odd reason. And I've thought about this, and I'm like, the only way I could communicate with you guys would be email, probably. Or because I'm assuming if it leaves Instagram, it's probably going to leave Facebook, because Meta, it's the same thing. So if you haven't signed up for the newsletter, I would recommend doing so, because then I have your contact information if something like that does happen. Because obviously I'd start a new page, but like everything would be gone. Anyways, that's my irrational fear. But the next new newsletter is coming out on Wednesday, February 7th. So make sure you're signed up for it. I'm going to have the next several weeks of podcast episodes shared, so you know what's coming. You can reply directly to that email and ask questions about those upcoming episodes. I'd be happy to save that so I can answer them in the future episodes. And it has some information about spring planting, what you should be thinking about right this time of year, house plants, your landscape plants, that kind of thing. It will also have some fun Valentine's Day stuff, holiday stuff. Bunch of things, bunch of info. And then the next order of business. This podcast is back to bi-weekly. I am thrilled about it. I hope you are too. I'm loving being back into it. I forgot how much I missed it. So I'm very happy to be back at it. Like I said a little bit earlier, I will also start to be including not just houseplant bios, but landscape plant bios, because I love landscape plants. That was my first love. That is how I got into plants in general. So I'm excited to kind of start easing back into that. Obviously, it's not going to be all landscape plants. I'm still going to have houseplant topics, houseplants in general, houseplant, those, a ton of things. I'm going to try to get interview style back up and running, kind of like I did with Sierra, hopefully with Sierra. More to come, but I'm very excited that we're back to bi-weekly and doing some fun other topics to go over. And then the last order of business and what we got coming up. And I think you all will be very excited about this one. But the next episode is all about propagation. We're going to dive into it. And it's going to be just like the other ones. It's going to be propagation explained. But in 4 weeks, I'm really excited. I haven't decided exactly what I want to do for the fourth, from 4 weeks from now, because that episode releases on my 30th birthday. So I'm not quite sure what I want to do yet. I don't know if I want to do Holly's favorite plants, talk about my actual plants that I have, or just do a regular topic, or what I want to do, but we'll get there. But I'm very excited to maybe do something a little different in 4 weeks. But I hope I see you guys on social media. Make sure you're signing up for the newsletter. And I hope you enjoyed this episode about Easter lilies. All right. Hope you guys have a wonderful week, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.